So when I saw the posters for the Evente originally, it made me think of the first time I saw the posters for The Matrix.
You remember posters?
Yeah.
But like, you don't remember the first time you saw The Matrix? You remember the first time you saw The Matrix poster?
I remember both. And I remember the poster specifically because it had the coding running down the poster. And all it said was, what is The Matrix? It didn't have... and then a date. It didn't have any information about who was in the film or what the film was about. And so when I went and saw the movie, I didn't even know who was in it.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't see any other promotion other than the poster?
Nothing. And so they had enticed people to go see the movie by this word of mouth promotional campaign of mystery. And they have a similar poster, similar only in concept for the Evente. It's just people staring up and you don't know what they're staring up at. And it says, I believe, what is the Evente?
I think it says, where were you when it happened?
Oh, where were you when it happened? That's right. And that's what it made me think of. And so it's like this air of mystery around it. And it's a really interesting way to promote a show.
Well, with the Evente, they don't know what it is.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Do you think that The Matrix, they hadn't written the movie yet? And they were like, what is The Matrix?
You just blew my mind more than when I first saw The Matrix, which totally blew my mind.
Hi, I'm Philip.
Hi, I'm Matt.
First we'll have a little chat,
then put on our improvers.
Now it's time for Next at Bat!
So we're here today with the Evente. Thanks for being here today, the Evente / what is your name? Because I found out recently that you were called something different.
Wedding party!
The wedding party. How did that originate?
Well, we have a kind of a running joke about people having to miss practices because we originally did the close quarters for
huge theater over in Minneapolis.
And there were people that kept missing, and so people within the group started getting married to each other and
saying just we had to be at weddings,
and we had to be at weddings.
Have to be at weddings.
Yeah. I think the first week, both Nate and Dave were gone because of a wedding.
Yep, that's what it was.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of went from there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, sorry, guys, I can't.
I have a wedding.
Even when you were actually going to be there, you told people you wouldn't be there because of a wedding.
Yeah.
So thank you, wedding party, for joining us. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Peter Butler.
I'm Joe Halverson.
I'm Nate Morse.
Megan Wolf.
Justina Sigelski.
Katie Vanelli.
That's how you pronounce it.
Sigelski.
It's tricky, you guys.
Sigelski.
And which members couldn't be here today?
Shanez, Lennis,
and Dave Christians.
And Ellen.
Jacquette. It's
so
difficult.
I think it really is said with a Q sound.
It is. Jacquette. You're right.
Yeah.
Jacquette.
But it's not jacket, it's Jacquette.
Was she from Montreal?
And yes. As always, I'm here with...
Philip Simida, but I'm not supposed to speak until 22 minutes.
At the 22-minute mark? It's a precedent set with our John Haynes episode, and I am Matt McLeod. So thanks for being here, guys. So you did start out as the close quarters team at Huge Theater, and you guys auditioned for that. What was the audition process like, and how long did it take for you guys to gel as a team?
The audition itself was really short. Yeah. Do you guys remember that? I just remember being like, oh, that's over.
Yeah, it was just like a 20-minute montage.
Exactly. And it was like 8 people in 20 minutes. So it was just sort of like, oh, I hope those 2 scenes I did were all right.
Yeah. I originally didn't have an audition spot, or I just kind of like snuck my way in. I was like, if I just show up, if there's an extra spot, can I take it? That's kind of how I audition now. I don't fill out anything. I just show up and hope somebody else doesn't, because that seems to be the only way I get into things anymore.
And who are you again?
Oh, that's right. No, but yeah, it was very short, and I was surprised how quick that was.
And I think we gelled almost instantly.
Yeah.
Like, we have a really, really close group.
I was going to say we're still working on gelling.
Wow. I would say that.
I feel like we're not yet solidified. We need some more time in the refrigerator.
And I would say that we gelled about halfway through. I'm going to find a nice
halfway
middle
through?
halfway through.
I think immediately. I think immediately because we had rehearsals.
Nate, I was making a joke.
Oh, oh shit.
I was halfway between Katie and Jill. That's all.
aren't you at a wedding?
Actually, Ellen is at a wedding right now.
Yeah, she is. She's actually at a wedding. In California.
True yeah. form. Oh, that's yes. wonderful. I think for gelling purposes, I'd say the game that we played that I felt really was Intimate Go.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think we really, not saying we liked it too much or anything, but as a group, I was like, wow, I've never felt this comfortable with total strangers being like,
Can you explain the game just for anybody out there that doesn't know what it is?
So regular Go is usually you point to somebody, they say go, and then at that point you're allowed to leave and walk to their position, and they're mm-hmm. supposed to move to a new position. And in this one, instead of pointing, you actually go up to the person and physically touch them in some way, in an appropriate way, and make a connection with them and with eye contact and whisper something very quietly in the means of go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Go.
I'd say Shanez is the best at Intimate Go.
She's so good.
She's really good.
Her heart's in it. Just
yeah, it is.
I think we were really fortunate to begin with, too, because our original coach was Butch Roy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for the first month, he wasn't able to come and coach us. So Jill Bernard came in and taught us Intimate Go and how to get really close. And we shared some stories
a
and really bonded
sharing.
Over
yeah.
candlelight.
Yeah.
A round of secret sharing.
Yeah.
So did you guys all know each other going into this, or was there a lot of kind of getting to know you as you got to know each other as improvisers?
I didn't know anybody.
Oh.
Yep. I don't think any of us knew Justina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I knew pretty much everyone else. Well, I didn't know Ellen.
Oh, that's true. Justina. Yeah. I didn't know Ellen.
And I had improvised with Dave before, but only a couple of times.
Yeah,
Dave and I are in the class of 94 together,
mm-hmm.
And Joe yeah. and I think once or twice, and then Nate and I with Poivre.
Oh yeah, we had never improvised together either.
No, I had improvised with Dave in Press Start, but that yeah. had been a while.
I don't think I'd have, I didn't season. Know Peter yes. that well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
You have a new show, The Evente. I guess first, can you describe what the show's like? Let's start with that.
What it's like or what it's supposed to be like?
Well, it's taken from an idea from the Upright Citizens Brigade from New York City. Mm-hmm. So I guess, sure, what was the original concept? What have you guys done to it? And what are you currently doing?
So my understanding of how they did it at UCB was it was like a 20-minute form.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. the first 10 minutes they would do scenes. And any entrance or exit from that scene was directly tied into one of the other scenes that you saw. So, like, if someone left halfway through a scene, they entered halfway through a different scene. So it was the same.
Okay.
It's all connected. And then in the last half of the show, then, they overlapped all of those scenes on top of each other and did them all at once. So you saw the whole event.
At once.
Wow. At once.
Yeah.
And that's the idea, like, the original form. Mm-hmm. But
we extended it into a 45-minute
an hour.
Yeah.
We do 2-30 minutes halves.
Yeah.
And we were intending to do it like the original form, but we didn't have a lot of time to rehearse, and we never got to figuring out the second half.
That's a really ambitious form.
Yeah. Well, especially, if you're going to do 40-minute opening and then have to remember everything you did for 40 minutes, and we ran out of time in rehearsal to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if we could. I mean, we could do that, sure. Sure, we could do that.
We could do it.
But I also think part of it is that like the original was a 20-minute form, mm-hmm. and we were also having like Nels was and we were all sort of like, we don't know exactly how to make this into an hour in its original.
The last half
structure.
Of the show, his idea was to have every single person on stage going through the timeline of the event, all the exits, all the entrances, all the scenes that you had seen before just overlapped into one. And when you look at that, there could potentially be three different things going on at a time
mm-hmm.
based on who exited and entered. So we would kind of have to remember where we were on stage and block on stage, and that was just way ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
To do any kind of blocking or remembering
for the amount of rehearsal time that we had, especially.
Yes.
Yeah.
So where are you guys with it right now? Like, what are you? And I'm assuming it's in progress, right? So like, you're kind of still moving with it, or are you pretty happy with where it's at right now?
What we've ended up with is that the first half we have a 5-7 minute event scene,
mm-hmm.
and then within that scene, there are entrances and exits. After that scene's over, it gets edited, and then the remainder of that 30 minutes is then entrance and exit scenes of the people that exited or entered in the first scene.
Mm-hmm.
So say Megan left the scene, then we would see the scene that she entered into.
Okay.
And so that's the first half. And then we come back, and then instead of putting us all on stage at the same time and trying to recreate that, we do the event scene again, right? Or mm-hmm. we do it at the end of our 30 minutes, our first 30 minutes.
Yeah, you're right.
And then we take those characters and put them very far into the future or very far into the past. So all the information we've kind of gathered about their character then influences us into like a past, like before that event happened, what maybe led up to them being that way during the event, or why they are the way they are after the event, if that makes sense.
That's it's a cool riff on the. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. it's.
I miss anything, please let me know.
I don't think so.
And still very ambitious.
Yeah,
it's not 22 minutes.
I'll go wait in my corner.
I definitely think we're having a lot of fun with it. Yeah. That's for sure. I mean, definitely remembering the structure, but remembering that, you know, you can't really break it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Your character is who you are the entire time.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's the question. I remember when we interviewed the score, one of the questions that I had for them was a lot of the audience members, after they saw the score, were extremely happy with what they saw. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the people who performed it were super hard on themselves because of how intricate the form was and how difficult it was to perform it on stage. How do you guys feel about the shows when you get done with it? Are you having fun with it? Because it is such an intricate form.
I think we're evaluating our performance, and usually when we go for intermission, it hasn't been too excited or enthusiastic. I think we're struggling with, well, what's the balance of number of entrances and exits, and mm-hmm. how long should the main event scene go, and then we're worried about, well, we got to recreate it, and we forgot to do this or this entrance, so we're sort of like still thinking about it and trying to find our comfort level.
I'd say we are pretty hard on ourselves on that that point. I mean, we still remember to have fun, but I've heard a lot of good feedback from our audience.
So have I, actually. Mm-hmm. Quite a bit.
Oh, great.
Yeah, our stories have been fun. I feel like our personal trajectory is pretty similar to the way we reacted towards Close Quarters when we were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
In that the first few shows, it was like, yeah, it was fun, but are we really doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing? And then eventually Close Quarters just got to be, I mean, we were doing it correctly. I'm putting quotes around that.
Mm-hmm.
But we were having fun, ultimately, and it didn't matter if we nailed the form precisely. And I think that's where we need to get with the Evente is it is a complex form, but we just need to have fun with it and not worry if we hit it exactly as we're supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're having a hard time just finding that balance of like paying attention, because it is such a structured thing. It's hard to just like let that go and have fun, but there's still that chance to have fun, and we can't forget about that. So yeah, I think we're struggling with the balance of that, finding the middle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We ultimately can just fall back on our chemistry or our gel factor. That's usually what people, you guys are so fun on stage, you guys like must really like each other. I hear that a lot.
Were
you impersonating somebody in particular there? I'm curious who that was.
No,
yeah, you put your hands right on your hips. That person came up to you with authority.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who it was.
You need a name by the end of this.
Okay.
So as improvisers, like when we do more structured forms, we do kind of shut down a part of our brains. I mean, we kind of close that part off to some extent, I think, right? Do you feel like that makes it more difficult, or do you feel like, is it an enjoyable challenge to do that sort of thing? What's the appeal to doing a more structured form?
Well, I think one of the challenges for the Evente form is that you're originally taught to not leave your scene partner on stage by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all about entering a scene and exiting a scene and just leaving them there. So that, I would say, we have to shut off. And we've been doing some fun practices before our shows that condition us to be okay with leaving a scene.
Yeah. And that one is Follow the Lever, which is also part of a form, I think it's called The Butch, where it was one of the rules in The Butch, named after Butch Roy, who made it up. Follow the Lever is where You do a scene with a couple of people or three people or however many people, and then eventually somebody leaves the scene, and then the next scene is, where did that person go? So you see where that person went and the scene that takes place around that character.
I used to do a short form game like that. It was called, we called it Boner.
No more needs to be said.
After the Growing Pains character, best friend took her camera and Boner.
Yeah.
So because he would just like show up, and then it's like, where does he go? Like, what is he doing? So as our short form group, we I guess they put that game together, and that became a really fun short. I've never seen it longer than like a 5 or 6 minute game though. So that's got to be more fun as a long form thing, I think. But it's a fun idea. Like, where does this character come from? Like, they just enter the scene. Like, what were they doing? What are they doing out there?
Where do you go afterwards?
Where do they go after this?
Yeah. To go back to your question, like, I've always found that I enjoy structure, I think, more. Just because I think it's more fun, honestly. And I know, like, that, I think that eventually becomes a matter of opinion as opposed to, like, do you prefer montage to do you prefer structure?
Yeah.
I've always been a structure person because it's like, well, like, a montage for me, it's like sort of like, oh, okay, what next, though? Like, let's do something with all of this potential.
Yeah, I think you can make, like, a more meaningful show when you have a structure behind
it.
I used to hate doing a Herald because I hated structure. I hated it because I wanted to go out and be, like, totally free to say whatever I wanted, whatever I felt at the time. But then if I'm, like, tied to a character or tied to scene 3B and I have to be this thing, then I was just kept thinking about it. But the more I do a structure, the more it's just sort of ingrained, the more it frees you up. Like, my subconscious knows better how to do that thing than I do, and I just let the subconscious take over. And it feels just like a montage to me, even though it's in a form.
Yeah.
Is it sort of like, I don't know, like in diving, they have degrees of difficulty, and so you can score higher when you do a higher degree of difficulty, and when you amp up the degree of difficulty in the improv form.
That is an awesome analogy. You just nailed that. Damn.
I mean, I think it's also an issue inherent in the creative process is you throw down a blank page and just say, do whatever you want. And you get blanked out. You don't know what to do because there's no limitations to what you can do. Mm-hmm. So then it's just about procrastinating until you have an aha moment. But when you have some kind of structured design behind what you need to do, it frees up all sorts of other possibilities in your creative side of things. But you also have to know and understand that structure in order to free up the creative side. Otherwise, you're just really focused on the logical aspect of the form.
It's kind of like knowing the rules and then breaking the rules.
Yeah,
I would say it's really an interesting thing to happen when you know your structure so well that it's like it's not even there anymore, but it is, and you are breaking the rules of your structure a little bit, like not actually in affecting the game or the show, but as the idea of like, well, I'm supposed to be this thing and doing this thing, but you're actually just like, it's so I don't know. I'm gonna take a minute to think about what I really want to say about that and let someone else take over. I think I get so caught up in my head about.
I think you're right, though. There's these invisible lines that are drawn by the structure, and then you can push on those lines and sometimes even push through them, and sometimes the audience knows that you're doing it and sometimes the audience doesn't, which I think maybe is where, you know, when we're doing a really structured form, we're really hard on ourselves. Mm-hmm. When we know where we're at within those lines, sometimes the audience doesn't. The audience just sees the product.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with this form. I mean, even explaining this form to other improvisers is hard to sometimes get across.
Yeah.
It's like just explaining it to somebody who comes up, they're like, gosh, how do you guys do that? It's like, I don't even think I want to get into it. Just trust that we have it's fine. Just don't worry about it. Just don't worry about how we did it. It's fine.
I've had a couple of friends come to see us, and my first question is always, did you get it? Did you understand it? And they seem to be following right along. I think we do a really great job of keeping those characters and really diving into who it is. I mean, whether we extend that first scene way too long or way too short, or don't, you know, quite follow the timeline of what we need to, we still really hold on to those characters, which I think is has always been a plus with this group.
And that's all they really need to. That's what I mean, is that they don't need to know the infrastructure. They don't need to know, like, intricate building blocks of what that structure is, but they understand what is happening on
much
stage.
Like when I watch a dive, I don't know what goes into that dive, but they do a lot of cool spins and it's enjoyable.
Oh, look at that. That's cute.
More impressed.
Going off of what you were saying there, Justina, how you guys are a big group. 10-person group.
Nine.
Oh, 9-person group. I'm sorry. I thought you were...
Matt likes to imagine that he's part of the group.
Now you're a 10-person group. How do you know when is the right time to go in? When is the right time to hold back? In
our form?
Yeah. Because it's
all built right in.
But when it's your turn?
It's interesting. Like, last night, actually, I noticed that I had been in the event scene for the last two shows. I was like, I was a part of that event scene. Either I came in really quick and left, or I was there from beginning to end. And so this time I was like, you know what? I'm going to not do the event scene.
And I noticed I was the exact opposite, where I had been a kind of like a segment character, where in that spinoff timeline, I would kind of come in. And so I was like, well, I kind of want to be in the event. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just the gel factor.
Yeah, and sitting back and kind of just watching what's happening. And then the thing is, with our forum, not everyone can be in that first scene, because the idea is that when you leave the scene, there's someone else for you to talk to, and unless two of you leave around the same time, you can't be in a scene together, except for the event scene, if that makes sense. People have to stay out. There has to be at least two of us, I would say, that can't be in that event scene.
With 9 people, I think there's a lot of thought process on the sideline being like, oh, well, I could probably be the person in the trunk, you know, of that guy and not come into this scene.
We had to see the show.
That's just your go-to character.
Yes, for the lady in the trunk that was wearing the dress.
Actually, I think some of the people who had maybe you might call the smallest roles had the funniest character lines, like the person trapped in the trunk, or Nate was a silent
photographer.
Oh,
that's
great.
He didn't have a lot of. Didn't say much at all, but had some.
What was your
only line?
What was your only line, Nate?
I told Megan to take off her clothes, and the audience really liked that, because watching 50 minutes of me not saying anything, that was a big release. People enjoyed it.
No, they were all thinking the same thing. We judged you as creepy, and then you gave us good reason to have judged.
Well, that's the thing. We gave him such like him being silent. Like we had to support him so much. Like. In his choice to be quiet and like accepting that's what he wants to do, that it made this awesome payoff in the end when he actually decided to let us know like what that was about.
And that's what I like so much about this group, because we even practiced it. We practiced those scenes where one person says nothing, so we're like comfortable with that. And I knew when Megan pulled me out for that scene that I was okay to not say anything, and she would drive it, and it was so fun.
That's okay.
Megan.
That's okay. It was a delight to be the most creeped out I've ever.
Speaking
of creeped out,
now's the time in the show where we're going to throw it over to Philip Simondet for the segment we call Philip's Corner.
Philip's Corner.
I gotta go.
Does Philip have a theme song for it? Because he should.
Yeah.
You want to sing me one right now?
Philip's Corner. And then. Yeah, that's perfect.
Thank you so much. You will get the royalty checks soon. It's about 22 minutes into the show, so it's time for Philip's Corner. I'm going to ask each of you a question. You're going to answer quickly because there's 6 of you. Peter, have you ever had turtle soup?
Philip, can you stop breathing into the mic?
Yes, I can.
You mean literally turtle soup? That's not a euphemism for something?
Yeah, or is it?
I don't know. I think, most turtles are endangered. So no,
I would not have turtle soup. I'm sorry.
What would you have? What's your favorite soup?
Does oatmeal count? Is that too thick for soup?
Not if you make it runny.
Okay.
That's my answer.
Thank you.
How do I follow that?
Have you ever had turtle soup? No. Joe.
Yes.
Do you wear a helmet when you bicycle?
I currently don't have a bicycle helmet. I feel bad about that. I also don't have a bike lock, so...
Guess you're not biking anywhere.
So I haven't really biked anywhere for a while.
Great. I'm so good at this. Nate.
Yes.
When you were 18, what car did you drive?
I think I drove my parents' 1990-something full-size silver Blazer.
You drove a Blazer?
Yeah. Just like, it was like O.J. Simpson, but a Blazer instead of a Bronco. Yeah. It was huge.
Just like O.J.
Yeah, just like O.J.
Shit. He must have the gloves, too.
A big
was the spare tire on the back? On the outside?
I think so. I think it did, yeah. Cool. I failed my driver's test in that thing twice.
Hmm. I failed twice, too.
Got it right the first time. Megan. Take off your clothes.
Oh, I'm so sorry for saying that to you the other night. Now I get it. I'm so sorry. It's like improv kryptonite.
Phillip's corner will be cut in all future episodes.
Matt always cuts the creepy parts out. Megan. How many jewels do you own?
If we're talking like real deal, none. If we're talking like the fake stuff, I mean, that's a complicated question. Like, should I categorize it into like fake pearls, a necklace worth? Rings that aren't valuable, 4 or 5. Necklaces that are mostly sentimental in value, like 3.
Priceless.
Yeah.
Worth more than
there we go. There we go. The end.
Good answer.
Justina.
Very thorough. Very thorough. Yes, hello.
How many cavities have you had?
Oh my god, so many. Like, when I was a kid, I had multiple I have very weak enamel on my teeth. That's actually a thing.
Wow. Yeah.
And as a kid, I had so many cavities. My dentist, he would tell me I had more cavities than any kid he'd met. And it wasn't like gross, like they're falling out of my teeth. Like, I had really nice teeth, but when my teeth then would fall out, my baby teeth would fall out, they would just be packed with silver. Like, just packed with silver fillings. And I still have baby teeth. My teeth are incredibly strong, but incredibly weak. They are.
Wow.
I need to find like a way
they're
to.
They're in the middle.
They're in the middle. Yeah. No, my canine teeth are actually still my baby teeth. They're my canine
really?
Teeth. Really? Wow. They're impacted into my gums. Yeah. So.
Ouch.
Yeah, I've actually had to have all of my molars removed by a dentist because they wouldn't fall out. Yeah, my big teeth were like, we want to come through in high school, and my baby teeth like, nah, that's okay.
Why didn't they take them out?
They wouldn't fall out, and then I had to go to a dentist, and he had to extract all of them.
But your
oh, these
canines.
Yeah, my canines they were so far impacted that if I were to have they said if I had braces, they would have had to wire up into my gums and wrap it around the tooth and lasso.
I'm really sorry I asked.
My mom and I were both like, that's okay. She's fine. She's fine just the way she is. So now I have a unique smile and a lot of not cavities anymore. My adult teeth are very strong, but I've had
so are your adult canines still up there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was your dentist Wild Bill Hickok?
You're like a shark. You got two rows of teeth.
Whoa. Yeah, it's very scary. It's very scary. But
Katie.
Hi.
Have you ever broken your bones?
I did. I did break one bone. I ran into a refrigerator of a woman playing.
What was her name?
I actually don't know. She played for Augsburg College. I played hockey in college. And my second year playing, seventh game into the season, first time starting ever in college, I ran into this brick shit house, and she she snapped my tibia? Oh, distal radius. My radius. So I had a distal radius fracture, and right now I have 5 pins in my wrist and a plate of some sort.
Wow.
Yep, that's the only bone I've ever broken.
You did, you did a good job of it.
Thanks. Yes.
Do it really break that shit.
Yep.
I really broke
just
that.
Got it.
Thank you so much. This has been Phillip's Corner.
Are we supposed to stop? I think it's super great.
All right. You guys ready to do an event tape ad?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, sweet.
Next up, Pat!
Well, sorry, guys. The bus is just broken down.
What do you mean it's broken down?
But I need to go. I need to.
No, I understand, guys. But I put my foot on the gas and it's just sort of giving me a rumbling noise.
Well, call your technician. I need to get to work.
Sweetie, we're in a cell phone desert here. There's just no reception.
Well, that's
good.
That's just awful. That is just awful. I knew this commute was not going to work.
This is the worst news. It's the worst news, and
well, it could be worse. Come on,
you guys! I just got an email.
What?
It's got an email on my cell phone.
How'd you get?
I think I have a satellite phone.
You have a satellite.
Call out.
No, we can use this. We can email our friends to come and pick us up.
Well, if you could just email a towing company or a repairman, we could all get out of here.
I've got AAA. Here's my card.
I'll plug it in.
This is just great.
They're on their way.
Wow, that was quick.
That was real quick.
I think he's lying. I don't think they're really on their way.
Can I have my card back now?
Yeah, you should give him his card back.
No, I need a...
Beep, beep. Hey, how's it going here for the tow?
Oh, no shit.
Wow.
I feel like an asshole.
I know I might seem like a figment of your imagination, but I'm not. I'm a real AAA tow driver.
Well, hold on. I believed him until he said that bit about not being a figment of my imagination.
Let's not overthink this.
Still like to get my card back, please.
Well, someone try and touch him.
Yeah, he's real.
He likes it when you tickle under his ears.
Yeah, please do it.
Well, all right. Are you going to be able to tow my bus?
Your bus?
My bus. This is my bus. It's a bus.
Yes, absolutely. It's an awful short bus. I was confused.
Well, you don't need to say anything about the people on it.
I apologize. Just hop on my back and I'll fly you wherever you need to go.
Wait a second.
What?
Fly us wherever we need to go?
Absolutely.
I don't care how I get there. I just need to get to work right now.
I don't know. I would rather be late to work than get on his weird flying machine that I don't even see.
Yeah. I'm with this sensible lady here.
Thank you. Would you like a sandwich?
Yes.
I have extras in my bag.
Excellent.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't contain it any longer. I'm low.
Great, guys. There goes my ride to work.
He was a balloon man.
Here's your card back.
This is a beautiful wedding.
Yeah. I don't know.
Shh. It's weird that they had the library where they met.
It's like, we want to know about how you got together, but we don't need to, experience
it. We don't need to live it. We don't need to do it here.
We don't need,
you can just tell us that you met at a library.
Yeah. How do you know the groom?
Grade school.
Have you been in touch since grade school?
No, it was weird. He called me up. He tracked me down. I think he had to hire a private detective to find me. But
oh my God.
We made a pact in the third grade that we would be each other's weddings.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. I'm actually I was trying to check out a book.
Oh, you don't. You're not here for the wedding.
Yeah, no,
oh well, you should stay.
You think so?
Yeah, there's going to be a cracker reception.
A cracker reception?
Uh-huh.
Like with multiple types of crackers?
It's going to be like Triscuits and Wheat Thins.
Wheat Thins?
Yep. There's going to be a chicken and a biscuit.
We made a
pact in the third grade that we would have all of the crackers at our weddings.
I vow to love you like a chicken and a biscuit cracker. Tasty. And with spices that are
knowable.
I helped him write those vows in the third grade. Oh my God.
And I promise to love you like a Triscuit. Sometimes I may be rough and scratchy on the outside, but I'll always nourish our love.
And like a Triscuit, we will be interwoven.
Like strands of wheat.
Yeah, we wrote girls' parts for the vows, too, in the third grade.
I can't believe she
it's more of a play than vows.
Yeah, wow.
I guess he found the right woman.
She's pretty.
Yeah.
Will you, my dear, bite my cracker?
I will. And will you, my dear, nibble my wheat then?
I will.
Thanks for coming over, everybody. I just want to say, as the inaugural representative for the after-school club for girls, that this will be quite a year.
Oh my God, thanks for having us over. So excited.
Thanks for letting us be here.
Oh.
Yeah, no problem.
No problem, Judy.
Judy, so first order of business is girls. Who brought the magazines?
I brought 17 magazines.
Thank God, Tiffany.
Wait, you brought 17, comma, the magazine, or you brought 17 magazines?
I brought 17, comma, the magazine.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we can all flip through the pages.
First things first, pass out the magazines and everybody take out pictures of the guy you think is cutest, and then we're going to make a board.
Oh, Kirk Cameron.
I can't find Mark Ruffalo anywhere in here.
Oh, do you remember when JTT was popular?
I was going to say the same thing. I found a picture of Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Lucky?
Oh, I got a picture of Boner.
Oh my God, that's gross.
What?
Words?
What?
Yeah. My mom doesn't let me say those words.
Oh my God, get with it. If you're gonna be a part of this club, you're gonna have to learn how to be a woman.
Insane. Boners are women things?
Well, that's the name of a... Oh God.
I'm sorry. It's I just not... love Kurt Cobain. I mean Cameron.
I knew it! This
whole time! I'm grunge! I admit it,
no.
I'm grunge!
Gretchen, you're out! You can't come back!
You don't belong in this club.
Well. Your honors, please. Hear me out my case here. It's pretty good. I've got photos of why I was late here. It was...
Oh. Photoshopped.
I've got testimony. I've got a witness.
Oh. Oh.
Tell him, Mickey. Tell him where I was that night.
I got it all on Instagram, your honor. It's got a Starburst filter on it. You can see here, Jimmy and I were outside the 7-Eleven when we were accosted.
Oh. Nice, Mickey. You're pulling them over to our side. Keep going.
And yes, we were wearing ski masks, but it was only because it was dark, and we wanted to be dark.
Interesting.
And it was kind of cold that night, too.
And I've got a sensitive nose, so I need to cover up my whole face.
Ski mask without a nose hole.
And a Starburst filter on Instagram? I don't even think that's
outside
a thing.
Of a 7-Eleven.
I'm on Android. I don't get Instagram. Oh. I just don't buy that these guys are friends.
Great point. Actually,
you've touched on something that I feel as well.
What? Mickey? We can talk about this after the case.
It was all you. It was all
what?
You, Jake.
Oh, man.
You robbed the 7-Eleven, and you asked me to come and take pictures afterwards. And I did. And I did it for you, and we recreated the whole event. But I can't stand this. I'm always second in command.
You turncoat.
No, 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 please, no, this is a mistake.
Don't bring the Revolutionary War into this.
I can't trust you. Never trust you again. Here, here's a slurpee in your face.
Oh. I am unfriending you on Facebook right now.
Oh.
Oh.
That's terrible. You guys should stay buds.
What?
Through thick or thin.
I didn't think the jury was supposed to talk.
I was pretty sure they weren't friends to begin with, and this just proved my idea.
Yeah. Let's throw them both in jail.
Yay!
I'm just feeling chilly.
Well, honey, you gotta bring a jacket.
It's freaking freezing out here. What were you thinking?
I thought to pack one, and then I put it in my bag, and my bag was heavy. So I took it out.
Whose gosh darn fault was that?
Anybody else cold in here?
I'm cold.
Well, you should have packed a jacket.
Yeah, what the heck were you thinking?
Well, what is it?
Are you going to speak?
Marjorie?
She gets this way when she's cold.
Marjorie?
Well, she should have brought a jacket. What the heck were you thinking? Now bring you the jacket out.
Marjorie?
I just feel bad for her when she gets like this.
I don't. She's cold and a terrible fault.
It's her own fault. She should have brought a jacket.
She should have brought a jacket.
You know, maybe we just shouldn't have come here. Maybe you should have listened to us.
Maybe we shouldn't have come camping at all.
Now it starts. The truth comes out.
Why would we go camping in Newfoundland?
I don't know. I can't even bake my cookies out here.
Right. That is my point.
Marjorie?
Use your words.
Marjorie?
I got an extra blanket, Marjorie.
Don't let her have it. She forgot. It's her own fault.
Well, look at you, Jason. What? You're sure one for pointing fingers.
Well, I brought 8 coats and I'm wearing all of them.
Yeah, well, does a man need 8 coats?
No.
No, he doesn't.
But
she sure is warm.
I sure am warm, and I'll keep being warm, and all yous will keep being chilly.
But if you give Marjorie the blanket, then Marjorie can finish sentences and can communicate.
Marjorie, is that true? Will you finish your sentence if I give you this blanket?
Marjorie.
I don't think you should have given it to her.
I'm just a nice person. I can't bake cookies. I'd give her a cookie if I could.
You're ridiculous baking cookies out here. Who thought of that?
You're ridiculous with 8 coats.
Give me that blanket back.
Dad, the lawnmower won't start. I pulled on the cord quite a few times.
Did you choke it? Did you put the choke down?
Everything you told me to do, I did, Dad. Can I just do it tomorrow?
No, you gotta mow the lawn. That's how you're gonna learn to be a man.
Well, give me a scissors or something then, because the lawnmower's not starting.
Lemonade, boys? You want some lemonade?
Oh, thanks, Mom. Appreciate it, yeah. Could you talk to Dad about the lawnmower? I can't get it to start, but he's making me.
Well, did you put the choke on?
Yeah, I did everything. Yes, I did that, Mom. Oh.
Did you mix in the 2 parts oil, 1 part gasoline?
I did it, yes. I double-checked before I poured it in. I did everything, Mom. Mom and Dad, you don't think I'd do these things. You don't trust me with the lawnmower. I could do something. Why don't you try and start it if you can?
All right, sidebar. Listen, our son is 27 years old.
I know, sweetheart.
He can't start a frickin' lawnmower.
We have to tell him
he's got to move out. He's got to leave the nest at some time.
He has to move out. We haven't had sex in like 5 months.
Like 5 years.
Years. It has been that long.
Now, Mom and Dad, what's going on with the microwave? It just won't defrost like I want here. Could you check this thing out? I did it, you know.
Did you press the defrost button?
I did. I pressed it 3 times,
did
cleared it.
Did you use the scissors? I gave you the scissors.
Well, I'm trying to work on my defrosting my meal here.
Yeah, did you take the tin foil off of it first?
Well, it has nothing to do with the microwave, Mom. It won't. I tried it with the microwave empty. It still wouldn't defrost.
Okay, sidebar.
Sidebar.
Honey, he can't even use a microwave. How is he supposed to live on his own? I'm feeling really guilty about this.
Do you think we failed as parents?
I think we did. I mean, he's our only son. We should have done a lot better.
We should have coddled him a little bit more.
I think I should have breastfed him longer. I mean, I only fed him until, like, what, 5 years old?
5 months?
Yeah, it was that short.
Maybe you didn't breastfeed him enough.
Yeah, I should have done it a lot longer.
We should have read the books.
Hey, Mom and Dad, can I sleep with you guys tonight? I'm feeling kind of lonely, you know, kind of...
Fine.
Fine. Oh,
thanks.
Fine.
Thanks. I'll get my stuff.
He still has that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pillow.
And the matching pajamas.
Footy pajamas.
But we have footy pajamas, too.
Yeah.
So I think it's okay.
They're my favorite.
I'm Donatello.
Has anyone seen Flippy? I can't find Flippy. Damn, I can't go to bed without Flippy.
I think he's in the basement. Flippy? I saw him in the basement. I saw him in the basement.
I was washing him, honey. Oh, I was washing him. You had all kinds of snot on him from being sick.
All right. Oh, thanks, Mom.
How's your tum-tum? How's your tum-tum, Stevie?
Good. Feeling better.
Is it feeling
you
better?
Look a little green around the gills.
That's all right.
Is your tum-tum okay?
I think so, yeah.
How about a little refresher? Here we go. Where's my little tum?
Oh my. Don't. That's so cute.
Oh, my little sweet boy. My little sweet boy.
I love you, Mom and Dad.
We love you, too. I just wish you could mow the lawn.
It's time to move out.
Where?
I mean...
We talked about it.
And
there's a house down the street.
Already bought and paid for, sweetheart.
Oh, what happens if the lights don't go on or the microwave doesn't work or the refrigerator is broken? I can't move out. You can't move me out. This is illegal. You can't kick me out. I have to leave on my own. You're my parents. You can't just throw me out of the nest.
He's right. Sidebar.
He's right.
My parents are the worst.
Tell me about it. Like, they gave me a car for my 16th birthday.
Oh.
Challenger.
What dicks?
Do you even know what that is?
Yes.
Because I don't.
It's awful. You should accept a Escalade and nothing else.
Right?
Nothing else.
Boys, detention isn't for chatting.
Yeah, well, what else are we supposed to do in here?
Sums.
Sums?
Sums.
We're supposed to do addition?
Yeah.
In detention?
Yeah.
Guys, can you keep it down? I'm trying to do my sums over here.
Shut up,
Terry over here is trying to right his wrongs.
I'm trying to learn.
You're trying to learn, and
I'm trying to better myself.
In
so
detention?
You should
be bettering yourself outside of detention.
What? Yeah. I don't want to end up back here. What, do you think I'm crazy?
What, you don't like hanging out in detention with us?
I'm going to get back to my sums and ignore your question.
Sorry about that shitty challenger you got for your birthday.
Yeah, well, parents are the worst.
Hey!
Who did that?
That was a... Hey, spitballs. I don't think so, man.
Hey, you in the back.
Huh?
What? Yeah. Yeah, you. Don't you... Me?
What's wrong, Teach, man?
I'm doing sums. I see you.
Yeah, hear that, because you know what? I'm going to back you over with my blazer.
Hey, now, no threats in the detention room.
Yeah, well...
Bring it on, sister. Come on, I'm ready for you.
No fights in here.
Don't call me a girl.
Why don't you just leave? Get out of here. Go.
Why'd you say that to my friend? That was a real dick thing to do. You got a challenger for his birthday, and now he's depressed.
Well, you guys, I gotta go. I mean, I'm not supposed to leave. I only exist inside of this room. Mm-hmm. I can't leave to go get him. Well, I never had a kid walk out of my detention room.
No, I feel bad.
You should feel bad, Terry.
So what was his problem? He got a car for his birthday?
Yeah, his parents gave him a crappy Challenger, a brand new one.
What?
For his birthday.
What, he got a Challenger?
Yeah.
Hold on, how is this new car both crappy and new?
No.
Because it's a new,
it's like,
crappy car.
It's like a note from his parents saying that they hate him.
Yeah. If they really loved him, they would treat him a lot better than that.
Yeah.
One, they would just get him a better car. Two, they would have given him... If they wanted to give him a crappy car, they would have given him two crappy cars on his birthday.
Hey, you know what my parents gave me for my 16th birthday?
What?
Nothing, because they were both ghosts. So I don't know why you're complaining.
I'm not complaining, I'm complaining for him. Hey, knock it off with those freaking spitballs!
You in the back!
Huh? What?
Yeah. Don't think I can't slap your hand silly with a ruler, buddy, just because I'm a ghost.
I want to hear more about your parents.
What
kind of childhood did you have, Teach?
Well, it was all right, you know? Sometimes we'd haunt one house, and they'd call a ghost exterminator, and you had to move on. It was a little bit of a transient lifestyle, but
What else can you expect when you're not made of flesh and blood? Enough about me. Shut up.
Cool. No, it's cool, man. This is the best detention. We're gonna get everybody in here. Cool.
Yeah, I'm leaving. I didn't sign up for a detention with a ghost.
Hey, teacher. I didn't sign up for being a ghost. So,
God damn it! Knock it off with those JD friend.
Wait, so the school didn't even bother with giving us a flesh and blood teacher to watch us? So I could literally walk right through you and out the door.
You could, but
let's do it.
These sums are meaningless.
That's right. Join me, Terry. Let's walk out.
Hey.
Let's do it.
Kids.
Thanks, Karen. Hey, do you want a date?
Probably not.
Okay, let's walk out anyway.
But I'll walk out with you, Terry.
Okay.
God damn it, kids, you've got life. You've got life like I never had. Aw.
Yeah, I forgot my password again. Can you reset it, please?
All right. This is the last time. This is the last time. You can't keep calling IT to reset your password every single day.
You guys won't let me write it down anywhere. That's the problem.
Well, you're just supposed to remember it.
All right, I'm going to make it 2.
All right, here we go.
My password is going
to
be 2.
No, I'm sorry. You have to have a capital letter. You have to at least have 15 to 20 characters with a variation of symbols and numbers. It can't just be 2.
Okay, reset it. I'll see what I can come up with.
All right, type in your new password.
Farclick Ricky.
All right, you going to remember that one?
Yep, this is like permanent memory here.
All right.
I need my password reset, sorry.
Listen, you called me yesterday.
I know. Well, I just...
You don't remember your password? It was for...
Well, I tried that 7 or 8 times and locked me out.
Right. You know what?
What?
This is what we're going to do. You have to have a capital, lowercase, symbol, number, capital, lowercase, number. Got that?
I'm just going to leave my computer on overnight, all right?
No, you can't do that either because the servers have to reset, and if you leave it on, then it's going to scramble everything, all right?
I'm coming down here. You
age
know,
of technology.
I'm coming down here. We're going to talk this out. You
cannot come down with the IT. You cannot come down.
Yep, no. I get down there. You open the door for me.
Cindy, is this the guy that you're trying to drive crazy because you're resetting his password every time?
I know, isn't it great?
This is just hilarious.
I want to speak with Cindy. Where's Cindy? What cube is she in? Oh, hi, Cindy. Well, we finally meet. Hi. Yeah.
Finally meet. Look at
face
you.
Face behind the name here.
All kinds of technology-based right in those eyes. That's fantastic.
Hey, some of us think differently. Now, here I wrote down a simple password, cat2. I want this to be my password. Can you put it in the database?
I would, you know, but you have to have at least 2 symbols in there. And a capital. Cat is supposed to be capitalized. You really love your cat, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's what I remember. All right, Cindy.
I'll type this.
I appreciate that.
Cat2.
All right, thanks.
There it is.
Could you reset my password?
You know what?
I can't remember. Cat3, cat4? It was just like, damn.
Two. The cat two. Try that before I reset your password. Try it again. Try it again.
Cat T-W-O or cat T-O-O? I can
better T-O. Cat T-O.
I better come back down there, Cindy. I'm a person-to-person transaction.
Can you believe this guy?
So it turns out that you didn't actually have to be trying to drive him nuts. He's forgetting on his own.
He's absolutely forgetting on his own. I mean, the first couple of times it was just, for fun. But this guy, he really loves his cat, but he can't remember how many times he loves it.
How many times does he?
Well, apparently 2, but he loves it 2 times.
Wow. Like T-O-O?
Oh, T-O. Or just the number 2.
Huh. But he can't remember that.
No, he can't. This is really good. I'm going to have to talk to management. This is becoming ridiculous. I am spending 20 minutes a day resetting this guy's password every single day. I get my coffee and, I got to reset a password.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, we've dedicated you just to Justin duty.
Okay, that was not in the contract.
You didn't know that?
I know. Justin duty.
No, we've actually, you know how you and I are having these talks behind his back?
Yeah.
I'm having talks behind your back about you.
Well.
With a lot of other people around here. So
you sent Justin over to Cindy?
Yeah. And so Cindy's only handling Justin's
case. Does she know he's Ashton Kutcher or not?
No.
That is awesome.
And what's hilarious, he's actually been to her cubicle. I don't think she looked up at him once.
He was wearing a hat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and how could she not recognize him in the hat? That's ridiculous. He drove a semi-truck here, and half the campus was like crazy about it.
And there was actually cheering going on as he walked down towards her cubicle. Still didn't look up.
That is awesome.
I know.
You are the man, Ted.
Thanks.
You are the man. This whole department is just effing each other over, and it is great.
That's why I joined the team.
So Ted totally believed that that was Ashton Kutcher?
Right. Really? But it was just my cousin in, like, a beard.
Did he not look up?
No, he didn't. Like, he just wore a t-shirt that said Ashton Kutcher on it, and he totally believed that
like
it was
Ashton Kutcher. Would wear that.
Well, he probably actually would.
He might.
Yeah.
Wait, you're telling me that Paul doesn't know that his cousin is Ashton Kutcher?
What? Paul Kutcher, and he's like, I don't get it. I don't know how families work.
Oh my god, and he's like, oh, it's just my cousin pretending to be Ashton Kutcher?
Right.
What a nut.
Right.
What a nut.
I had him going from the start.
Holy
cow. I've been
planning
this for years.
Has he just never looked at a television?
I don't think he can afford one.
Oh, that's,
it's,
I mean,
sad.
It's a little sad.
And he's also apparently never been to a family gathering.
Oh.
Or he has, because he doesn't
he
know
has.
His cousin.
I
I'm
don't
confused.
Know. Well, it's all right. It's a confusing situation here on campus.
So are you telling me that he doesn't go to his family reunions?
No.
At all? Like,
no.
Just straight up doesn't go to his
he
family reunions?
He just doesn't go to his family reunions.
What a bastard.
We were talking about families and family reunions, and he was like, I'm confused. And I was like, buddy, I can't hold your hand through this. It's
no,
pretty basic.
It's very basic. I mean, you get the invitation. I mean, you shouldn't have to, Trish.
Hey, buddy, you're related to them all by blood or marriage. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, jeez.
Right?
Families.
Families, man.
I gotta reset my password. Hold on.
Oh, all right. I'm gonna go down to the water cooler and get a pot of coffee.
Hey, Cindy, I wanted to apologize to you for putting you on Justin duty because, you know, we're family and I shouldn't have really fucked you over like that.
No, you shouldn't. I mean, Dad got me, you know, this job and you supported it. And
I think it's because you always got the benefit of our parents, you know, love and affection when we were kids. And
I knew that jealousy was going to come out sooner or later.
And I think that that's what happened. I feel really bad about it. So I can take you off Justin duty if you want me to.
Yeah, that'd be great. I don't even know what he looks like.
I know.
Hey, guys. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I didn't know if you knew this, but I'm your ghost dad.
What?
I've been your dad the whole time. Like, I know you didn't recognize me because we hadn't hung out in 5 or 6 months, but...
And I never really looked up at you, but now that I do...
You're translucent.
And you totally look like both of us.
But I'm still your supervisor, and you need to get back to work.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Thanks, Dad.
Ghost dad. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-bum.
Whammy!
And that's our show. Thank you to the Evente, to the wedding party, to the close quarters group over at Huge Theater in Minneapolis. Thank you to Joe Halverson, Peter Butler, Megan Wolf, Nate Morse, Katie Vanelli, and Justina Sigelski for showing up over at the apartment to do the show with us. You can see the Evente at 8 p.m. on Fridays at Huge Theater. That's Huge Theater at 31st and Lindale in Minneapolis. You can learn more about that at hugetheater.com.
They're playing Friday nights through June.
You can also find them on Facebook at facebook.com/weddingpartyimprov.
You can see me this Friday at the Friday Night Stage Match at the Brave New Workshop Student Union, 26th and Hennepin. Also, check out my other podcast, Minimum Fare, either through iTunes or you can find back episodes on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Philip Simondet, where you can also find songs and things.
You can see me at Friday Night Stage Match on the 31st of this month and on the 14th of next month. And you can also see me over at Huge Theater on Wednesdays with A Night Out. That's with Joe Halverson, who you heard tonight, as well as Carolyn Blomberg, Max Maliga, Andy Katsung, Tanya Albert. And you can also see me in my friend's friend's friend, A new Improv Agogo show coming up soon at Huge Theater in June, where I will be with Drew Kirsten and two other people to be named later. And that is a part of the show, ladies and gentlemen. It's not that I just don't know.
Please keep in contact with us on our Facebook page and at nextatbatpodcast@gmail.com. We love your comments and feedback.
And check us out on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and review. It helps us out a lot. So that's our show. Thanks for checking us out. We'll be back next week, and we look forward to seeing you then.